to welcome our online folks. You know, our folks, we got folks that are watching this sermon from all over the world, and there is just as much part of our family as the folks that are sitting in these chairs. So let's turn around and wave at our online folks, and let's just give them a hand this morning. Awesome. Thank you for joining us today. And so it's an honor today to be here. I'm Pastor Will Krause. I'm one of the associate pastors. I'm that guy that looks like Mr. Magoo in that photo there. But you know what was awesome today is that I had to say that I'm preaching from the San Marcos campus because we've got another campus. We launched Promised Land Lockhart today. Yes. And I just heard that we had over 360 people at our first service. So, y'all, that is just something we got to give God some glory about. God is moving. God is moving. And just an honor to be a part of this. And today we're launching a new sermon series called Relationship Goals. Relationship Goals. How many of y'all seen, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat? I don't even know them all. But, you know, when two people are, like, just in love, people put in relationship, hashtag relationship goals. They want to have a relationship goal like that. I've got two teenage girls, and I hear them talk sometimes, and it's like they're speaking a whole nother language. They'll see two cute things or two cute people, and they'll say, ship it. Ship it. Like, ship it like FedEx, ship it? No, relationship it. So I'm like, I don't know what y'all are saying. Y'all, I reached that point where I'm finally old. I got there. I'm there. So, but today we are talking about relationship goals. And did you know that God has a plan for our relationships? Man. How many of y'all know that God has a plan for our relationships? Man. How many of y'all know that we need God's plan for our relationship? Because some of our relationships are in trouble. Some of our relationships are in a mess. And you might be saying, Pastor Will, you don't even want to get involved in how messed up my relationships are. You don't even want to get your hands dirty there. But I want to tell you that we serve a God that gets his hands dirty in our relationships. Amen? We serve a God that's not afraid to get into our messes and to make good things happen. And here's why. In Genesis 2 and 7, the Bible tells us that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. You know, creation was this giant display of God's power and his creativity. And it was for his pleasure. But you and I were created for something much more. We weren't just created to be admired, to be put on a pedestal, or to tend a garden. But you and I were created to have an ongoing, life-giving, dynamic relationship with the God of heaven and earth. What I love about the creation story is that when God created things, he spoke them into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And he created the stars and the heavens and the moon. But when he created us, he put his hands on us. He got down in the dirt. He stooped down and he scooped up dirt, and God got his hands dirty. And what we want you to see through this sermon series is that when God gets down and dirty, people are given life. Relationships are healed. Marriages that were on the rocks get healed because we serve a God that's not afraid of our messes. And I'm thankful for that today. And so God has created relationship. You know that you were designed for relationship, that I was designed for relationship? And sometimes that's like, wait a minute. If I'm designed for relationships, how come they're all so messed up? And the reason why is because for relationships to work, we need a clear vision on how they're supposed to work. And that starts with the most important relationship of our lives, our relationship with God. And so on this stage here, I've got some props. We've got a living room set here. And so this chair represents our relationship with God. It's a single chair. It represents our relationship with God. And this couch represents our relationship with others. But I want you to know that what happens in this chair affects every relationship that you have. And what doesn't happen in this chair with your relationship with God, guess what? That also affects every relationship that we have. And so when you get on the chair with God, God begins to tell you who you are in Him. He begins to give you value and identity. You see, when you start your relationship with God, it changes every relationship you will ever have. My time in this chair changes the way I relate to my family. My time in this chair makes me a better father and a better husband. It changes everything. So that's what these are on the stage. They're props, but we're going to be referring to our relationship with God and our relationship with others. And so when I began to think about this sermon and praying about the sermon, I began to think that, you know what? Every amazing relationship has a song. It's like your anthem. Your song is your anthem. Is there anybody in here that has a song for their relationship? Everybody's so shy this morning. For real, anybody in here, have you ever had a song when you were dating? Your relationship, okay, two people now have had a song. Anybody else? Look at that. Now you're telling the truth. You're in church. You're telling the truth in church. It took me a while to get it out of you. But when Tab and I were first dating, we were 16 years old. My wife here, my beautiful wife sitting on the front row, we were 16 years old. And of course, when you're 16 years old, you've got life figured out. You know all the answers to everything. You've got it all figured out. You've got all the answers. And so at that time, we needed a song. And at that time on the radio, there was Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. That's the best love song that's ever been created. And I will always love you. Oh. And you know what? When you sing that song, you got to turn Whitney Houston way up because nobody can sing like Whitney Houston. And when you turn that song, it sounds like you just, oh my goodness, it was the perfect love song. I will always love you, baby. I will always love you. I will love you. And then you turn the radio down and it sounds like you're strangling a dog or something. But that was the song I wanted. I was like, man, that's a perfect song for our relationship. And I kept trying to convince Tab, that needs to be our song because I'm always going to love you, girl. I'm always going to love you forever and ever and ever. And I couldn't figure out why. But Tabitha was like, no, I don't like that song. I was like, you don't like that song? It's the best love song ever written. Nobody can sing it like Whitney Houston. So I kept trying to convince her, and over and over and over again, she said no. And I finally got it out of her. It was the song that she had with her last boyfriend. And I hate that song. That's the worst song ever written. Ugh, I want to throw up. The worst song ever. It was awful. Written by Satan. Hated that song. And y'all, we got married later, and somebody who did not know us played that song at our wedding. At my wedding, I wanted to stop the wedding and say, hey, I got her now. That dude's gone. She's my woman. And so every relationship needs a song. And so we had to choose another song. So we found a song from the 50s, folks, from the 1950s by the Five Satins. Who in here's heard of the Five Satins? There's like, okay, wow, there's some people in here. There's some people in here. It was called In the Still of the Night. Oh, yeah, it's a good song. All right, but we chose the version that was written by Boys to Men. Yeah. See, Boys to Men, they know how to write some love songs. And so I'm going to sing it to my baby. In the still of the night, I held you tight, for I love you so, promise I'll never let you go. In the still of the night, in the still of the night, I love you, baby. And so what's funny about that song is our love song has shoo-wops in it. Shoo-wop, 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 ba-doom, shoo-wop, shoo-wop. Y'all, that's hard to sing. You got to stop and do a shoo-wop every once in a while when you got. So our love changed, and we moved from Boys to Men to John Michael Montgomery, country singer. There was a song that just, man, it just was our relationship. It had a really sophisticated title. The title was Ain't Got Nothing on Us. And so that was our song, because I thought, our relationship was so amazing. There's no relationship is like this relationship. There's no relationship like our relationship. And so this song goes, well, they say the Grand Canyon is a sight to see, but it's just a big ditch next to you and me. Ooh, baby, ain't got nothing on us. I stop, I stare, sometimes I can't believe my eyes. My jaw, it just drops. Our love has got me mesmerized. Give my baby a hand. Y'all have no idea what she has to put up with me. And so there were others, there were other bands and groups. There were so many songs in the 90s, but who in here has heard of Milli Vanilli? Y'all are laughing. Why are you laughing? They wrote some songs. I got a picture of Milli Vanilli up on the screen. Let's show Milli Vanilli. Man, y'all, they could dance. Y'all, they had some sweet hair. They had muscles. They couldn't sing. They had the whole package, but they weren't the whole package. Milli Vanilli really wasn't Milli Vanilli. They had this whole show going where they were lip syncing. They were not really singing their songs. And they weren't the whole package. I want to show you a picture of who the real Milli Vanilli was. That's not Milli Vanilli. They don't look the same. They're different. But this was the voice behind Milli Vanilli. And so, man, Milli Vanilli had writ so many songs. You thought they were singing so many songs. They had sold 20 million albums. They got a Grammy. They played just about at every possible award show. But they weren't the real thing. In fact, when people found out that they were frauds, man, the media had a heyday. So what happened was, as they were out there singing, they were dancing. Girl, you know it's true. 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 The song wasn't going on. It was skipping. Girl, you know it's true. And he starts sweating. Girl, you know it's true. 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 And there's a guy back there with the tape player going, girl, you know it's true. And finally, he had to, like, throw his microphone down, and he ran off stage. It was awful. And y'all, that's sad. Let's just take Milli Vanilli down. Let's put relationship goals back up there. But in all honesty, some of us in our relationships, and some of us even in our lives, we're like Milli Vanilli. Some of our relationships and our personas and what we project have been based on something that's fake. So sometimes when you're dating somebody, you find out that, wait a minute, you're really not who I thought you were. And then sometimes when they're dating you, they're like, wait a minute, you're not who I thought you were. And so sometimes we get really good at putting on a front, projecting an image. We're projecting an image that we're stable. We project this image that we've got more money than what we really have when we can't even afford the bills that we have, but we want to look good and project an image. And so we do all of these things, we project an image, but we're not really telling the whole truth when it comes to our relationships. You see, the problems with most relationships are that we really don't know who we are. And because we really don't know who we are, we don't even really know what to look for in a relationship. We go by our feelings, we go by what things look like, and we really are not aware of the right way of going about relationships. Andy Stanley is this wonderful pastor, and he wrote a book, and I just would tell you to read it. It's just a great book. It's called The New Rules of Love, Sex, and Dating. And in this book, he talks about this young lady that walked up to him. She said, you know, I grew up in church. I had my roots in church. I went to Sunday school, and I grew up in church. And then when I started to get around high school age, when I graduated, I kind of pulled away from God. And I began to get into the dating scene. I began to just try to have fun and live life. And I really pulled away from God. And she went to this social gathering, and at this social gathering, she met this guy that was amazing. He had the looks, he had he was Mr. Right. And she began to realize, man, he had it all together. And she talking to him a little bit more, she found out that, man, he was a Christian, and that he was intent on just living a life of faith in everything he did. And so she was like, wow. So she went home to talk to mom about this guy, about Mr. Right. And she's like, mom, he was perfect. He was Mr. Right. He's everything I was looking for. He was, you know, he just had it all together. And I want to marry him, mom. And mom said, did he get your number? She goes, no, come to think about it, he didn't ask me for my number. And she had to be really honest with her daughter. She said, baby, he's not trying to date you. He was trying to convert you. And that girl fell into pieces. She realized that everything had to change. When she saw that he was trying to convert her rather than date her. And so her entire vision for relationships began to change. They began to change. And just like this girl, God wants us to get a clear vision of what he wants for us and for our relationships. And it all starts here in this chair. It all starts here. Before we get on the couch and we start making messes, God wants to tell us who we are in him. God wants to speak to us. God wants to change us. God wants to do things here in our life to where we're not out over here looking for somebody to complete us. That we're not looking for somebody that is going to fulfill every one of our needs, because it's not going to happen here. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right here. They don't exist. But I can tell you somebody who does exist, who will change your life, who will change your relationships. He will heal you so you don't have to look over here for somebody to give you value, for somebody to make you feel like you're worth something, because he tells you that you are worth something. Amen. You see, right here in this chair, when you get to know him, you'll realize that the Almighty God of heaven and earth died for you. Thanks. And gives you value, that he loves you more than you can even imagine. And it all starts here with this relationship, with this relationship. And what happened to this girl was that she stopped hunting for the right person. And instead, she turned to God to become the person she needed to be. And so I was talking about before is that God is wanting to give us a clear vision of what relationships are. God's wanting to give us clear goals. And that comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. Blessed is he who keeps the law. And so what God is telling us is God wants to give us a vision of who he is. He wants us to give us a vision of who we are in him. And it's going to change everything. But some of us have been following the wrong blueprint from day one. And you know where it comes from? It comes from Hollywood. It comes from happily ever after stories. It happens from, you know, a 1-hour-and-44-minute movie where everything, you find Mr. Right, you fall in love, and you live happily ever after. So some of us have found our formula for relationships, our formula for dating in the wrong place. And so what I'd like to talk about next is kind of our approach, the approach that we look for when we're looking to find love, or when our approach to find relationships. And I've got a little triangle I'm going to put up on the screen here. And this triangle, it goes into the unwritten relationship goals. And we'll call these Hollywood's relationship goals for us. And so how does it start off? It starts off with physical. Oh my goodness, look how hot that guy is, or hot that girl is. It starts off with physical. And y'all, the first time I saw my wife, I was like, oh Lord, you did a good job on her. Man, God, you spent some extra time on that one. I'm getting some points here, guys. Whew. So it starts off physical. It's such a physical thing. We're looking, and if somebody's gorgeous in our eyes, we move on. If they're not, they're like, okay, next. But then if sparks fly, we move on to the emotional phase, and this is that stage where that feeling of falling in love. oh, that euphoric feeling of falling in love. Psychologists say that phase lasts about 6 weeks to 18 months. It's a phase. And so we start spending all of our time together, all of our time together, every moment of the day. And our parents are like, where did you go? And your friends are like, hey, I haven't seen you in forever. Where did you go? But you're in this emotional phase with somebody. So you've stopped pretty much neglecting everything else because it's all about feelings and it's all about emotions at this time. And you really don't start talking about the relationship because you don't want to mess it up. You're not comfortable talking about the relationship. You're just in that emotional phase, there's so much feeling going on. And then you spend hours on the phone together talking about nothing. How many of y'all have spent hours on the phone talking to somebody for hours and hours and hours? 3 hours. Show me 3 hours. How many of y'all spent 3 hours on the phone? Okay. Some honest people in here. In church. Good. Okay, 4 hours on the phone talking to somebody. 5 hours on the phone. 7 hours on the phone. 9 hours on the phone? You guys are crazy. We're going to have counselors out in the lobby after this to help you. But you know what? My wife and I used to fall asleep on the phone together. Y'all ever done that? Baby, are you still there? Yeah. I'm still here. Good night, baby. And you hear them breathing all night long. Are you there? Yeah. I'm here. And you wake up and you're still on the phone. Baby, you don't breathe like that. That was me. That was me. That was me. Yes. So this is the emotional phase. And the problem with the emotional phase is we want that person, that other person, to be Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, that we begin to build that person in our mind. We give them this persona. That we begin to just we believe that they're everything that we need. And so we begin to build up this person in our mind. And they're not really that, but we want it so bad that we project this onto them. And the problem is later on in the relationship, you start to say, wait a minute, you're not the same person that I was dating. You're somebody else now. And the problem is they never were that person. You wanted them to be that person so bad, you projected all of that. And then you move on to the social phase. The social phase of a relationship is when you start to introduce them to your friends and your family. And they begin to start giving you their opinions on the relationship or that person. In Tabitha's case, her mom said, no way, you are not dating that guy. But you don't care what anybody says because you're so emotional. You don't care what anybody tells you. It's like you don't listen at all. And then we get to the psychological phase. And if you're taking notes, for short, you can write the psycho phase. The psycho phase. And y'all, this is where the stresses of life come in. You start to realize that sometimes they have nasty breath. And sometimes you see them without makeup on. You're like, oh my goodness, who are you? Baby, I never, once again, that wasn't you. But this is a stage where all of these questions start to come in, and that's where the facade, the act kind of starts slipping a little bit. And you start to see the way they respond to things. And it's like, wait a minute, who are you? And honestly, this is a phase in a relationship where most relationships fall apart. This is a phase where they're like, you're not Mr. Right. But sometimes, just to find security, and they're so tired of going through this process over and over again, they'll want to take the next step, and they think, if we can just get married, it will fix us. Like, marriage is an answer. And so they said, let's just get married. And so they take it to the spiritual level. And this is where they'll go to a pastor or they'll go to a priest or a rabbi because they want to make this official. This is going to last forever, so they're going to prove it to everybody by getting married. And the problem with this is they're looking to marriage to fix a relationship that already has incredible problems and trouble. And so we look to a marriage to fix a broken relationship. The problem is this system doesn't work. It's not just parts of this formula that don't work. It's the entire formula that doesn't work. It doesn't work. The equation is wrong. And because here's what Hollywood tells us. This is what Hollywood feeds us. This is what social media feeds us. All of this, we digest it every day. I want to go through Hollywood's relationship goals. Number one, find the right person. There's a person out there just for me. There's that person. I know he exists. I know she exists. She's out there somewhere. Number two, fall in love. Fall and head over heels in love. That's what you see in the movies. In an hour and 44 minutes, you see it over and over again. They find the right person. They fall in love. Number three is fix all of your hopes and dreams on that one person. And so that's what happens when we come over here and we fix all of our dreams on one person. We're expecting this person to fix us. So I know I've got so much credit card debt. I've got $100,000 in credit card debt. With my income and her income, we're going to get out of debt. You start imagining these things. Honestly, you got messed up finances. She's got messed up finances. Bringing them together makes a whole lot of messed up finances. And so sometimes we look to another person. Well, they're going to fulfill me. They're going to complete me. They're everything I've been looking for. And the problem is that person doesn't exist. What problems is when we jump on this couch to look for somebody to complete us, you've got two broken people trying to become one. And it doesn't work. And what Hollywood says, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. And so we go through that process again. I'm going to find that person. I thought they were Mrs. Wright. I'm going to go to the next one and the next one. And it's a cycle that keeps happening over and over and over again. And the problem is it will never work because you're not going to find somebody to make you whole. You're never going to find somebody to complete you. You're never going to find somebody because guess what? Only God can complete you. This is the only relationship that's going to give you absolute fulfillment. This is the only relationship that's going to complete you, that's going to make you whole. And see, God wants to make you whole before you get on the couch with somebody else. God wants to make you whole here. And then he wants to help you find another whole person to become one. And all that happens when we go in a different way about looking to relationships, when God gives us another vision. You see, God's got a better way. God always has a better way. And I've got another triangle I want to show you. And I want to tell you that this is not just for people that are dating. This isn't just for people that are dating. This is for married couples. This is for every relationship you have. Absolutely every relationship. And I want to tell you, it starts off with spiritual. It starts off with finding out who you are in God. You see, that's the only way you're going to really figure out who you are. That's the way you don't have to have an act anymore. You don't have to project something else. God is going to tell you that he died for you, that he loves you, and that you are his creature. You're his creation, and he loves you. And you're only going to find your identity by spending time with him in this chair. He's going to make you a whole person when you sit in this chair, when you spend time with him. It starts with God. It starts with God. And so in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5:1, let's put that scripture up real quick. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. When you spend time with God in this chair, you understand forgiveness. You understand grace. And y'all, it makes all the difference in the world when you are able to bring that over here into your relationships. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better wife when you understand the grace of God, when you understand forgiveness, when God has taken your giant mess of a life and he's healed you and he's filled you with his spirit and he's washed you and you feel his love and you feel his grace. It's going to change the way you relate to everyone else. You're going to be a better mom, a better dad. You're going to understand relationships in a way you've never understood relationships before. And it all happens in that chair. And so when you've started off, put that triangle back up there. When you started off with spiritual and you know who you are in God, you can then move on to the social. The social is because you already know who you are in God, so you're not looking for a person to complete you. You're not a broken person looking for another broken person to become whole. You're already whole in God. You already know who you are, so there's no act. Guess what? You get to be yourself. You get to be who God created you to be. There's no facade. There's no act. You're who you are because God made you. And so that makes everything different because you're not putting your hope into a relationship. You're not putting all of your hope into a relationship because you're already complete. That changes everything. It changes everything. It changes everything because you get to start looking for somebody that has the fruit of the Spirit on their life. You get to recognize, wow, that person has love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. I see that in them. I want that. I love that. You recognize that they're whole in God. They're whole. And then you can move on to the psychological phase. And this is so amazing because now at the psychological phase, you can just be in two people. You can start asking real questions about who they are. There's no act. There's no facade. You can ask them real questions like, who are you voting for? Hillary? Huh? Trump? Huh? Sorry, threw that in there. But you can begin to ask real questions. You can find out if you're actually compatible with this person. And y'all, what's amazing about all of this is all of this happens before you got physical, before you got emotional, because that's where all that pain and regret comes in. And all of that happens. You see, God's way is a better way. God's way is such a better way. God's way is so good. It's such a better way. And so God's relationships goals. I want to talk about God's relationships goals. Let's put those on the screen. Number one, God's relationship goals are stop looking for the right person and start becoming the right person. Y'all hear that? Stop looking for the right person and start becoming the right person. Y'all, that preaches. Start becoming the right person. Because this is all about who you are in God. This is all about who you are in God. I don't have to look out there because God, I've got the most important relationship of my life is my relationship with God in this chair. So I don't have to find a Mr. Right or a Mrs. Right. You don't have to find the Mrs. Right or Mr. Right. It's not about that. It's all about who you are in God. Until you understand this, until you understand that you're complete in God, you really don't need to be here on this couch. You don't need to start another relationship. You don't need to start until you understand that this is where it matters the most. This is what's going to change the game. Number two, instead of falling in love, remember that stage is 6 weeks to 18 months. Instead of falling in love, walk in love. Walk in love. I want to tell you this, that God gave himself up for us. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. And when we walk in love, when we understand that love is so much more than what Hollywood has said it was. Hollywood says it's just a feeling. And what happens when we believe that love is just a feeling is that we can fall in and out of love, like we can spill out of love. Well, I just don't feel love anymore for this my husband. I don't feel love anymore. And so when Hollywood tells us that love is a feeling, that's a lie. The lie about it is that you're never gonna understand what love is until you understand what love is from Jesus. That's where you're gonna figure out what love is. And the problem with love being a feeling is it's not. Love is not just an emotion. It's part of our, when we fall in love with somebody, when we love somebody, it's part of our feelings. But love is a verb. Love is an action. It's an action. In fact, you know what? It's a commandment. You know that God commands us to love. God can't command us to feel, but God can command us to love. You see, it says it in Mark 12 and 28. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength." And listen to this. The second is equally important, to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. And so God is telling us that he commands us to love. He commands us to love. And here's the thing about love. It's a decision. It's a choice that we have to make. Because Hollywood has lied to us. There's people in here that say, "I don't feel like being married any longer. Because I just don't feel it anymore. I don't feel it. The feeling we once had was gone. You've lost that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling." We went back right there. But it's a lie. Since we don't feel love anymore, the marriage must not be worth working on. And really what we're saying when we say that, when you say, I just don't feel like I love my wife anymore, what you're really saying is I've stopped behaving in loving ways towards my wife. And wives, when you say the same thing, you've stopped behaving in loving ways towards our husbands. You see, God's way is with relationships. He can help us get that loving feeling back. And you know where it starts? It starts right here in this chair. When we stop living for ourselves and start loving the way that God wants us to love. We stop living for ourselves and we start loving the way that God loves. And so if there's marriages that are on the rocks here today, it's most likely because this relationship in this chair is on the rocks as well. So when we want to get that feeling back, we need to go back to this chair, and God is going to change us. He's going to change us. Number three, instead of fixing your hopes and dreams on another person, fix your hope on God and seek to please him through this relationship. See, God can make beautiful things out of messes. Remember I told you that God wants to get down and get his hands dirty in our relationships. And that all starts right here. God wants to change the way we relate to our spouse. God wants to change the way we relate to our children. You see, God wants to change some things deep down here first. When we sit in this chair for long enough, we start to realize, I cannot believe I've treated people this way. And what changes the most is you go from being a taker in a relationship to a giver in a relationship. That's what really changes. Because we stop looking in the mirror to think how good we look. Dang, I look good. And we stop looking to how much we can get out of a relationship. And we start looking in the mirror and God showing us our heart. Dang, God, fix me. And that takes place in this chair. It takes place here. And I want you to know that you can trust God with every relationship. God knows every heart. There's not a relationship that God can't fix if you get in that chair. And when things get tough, and they often do in a relationship, in a marriage, that we go through seasons, we go through seasons in many relationships. And so number four in God's way, if it gets tough, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. I want to tell you that something's different about God's way. You see, Hollywood's way and Hollywood's relationship goal, it all starts with you, revolves around you, and ends with you. And the problem with that is things that start with us and end with us, we know how that works. God's way starts with God, and it ends with God. God's way is so much better than our way. It's so much better. Relationships, God's way, oh, they're amazing. This year, I'll be married to this woman 21 years. And it's the grace of God, folks. Yeah, God. It's God. Because I had my own way of doing relationships, and God had to heal me. God's grace and his mercy, he healed me. He healed me, and he changes me. Hollywood will tell you that if a relationship begins to fail you, you haven't really found the right person. God's relationship ways, it says, if things begin to fail, we ask, have we really become the person God wants us to be? And Hollywood whispers, maybe you simply need to fall in love again with somebody else. God whispers, learn to walk in love and you will become blessed. Hollywood says, build your life on a soulmate. God says, fix your heart on me and I will make you content. God's formula is centered on him, and I want God's formula in my life. I want to become the person, the right person that God wants me to be. I want to fix my hope and my dreams on God and not put it in another person. And when you love this way, when God shows you how to love this way, you're going to have relationships you never thought or dreamed of. God's way is so much better. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's just bow our heads. And God, we just come to you today, God. And we want your way. God, we've gone about relationships for so wrong for so long. We believe the lie that we've been fed. That it starts with us and it ends with us. We want to call that a lie today. We want to start with you, God. God, we want to spend some time in the chair, God. I want all my relationships to be changed by you, God. Help me to love better. Lord, let your love for me, let your grace for me, let your forgiveness in my life, God, be reflected in my relationships. And God, let me stop looking to other people to fulfill me, to make me whole, because you're the only one that can make me whole. You're the only one that can heal my life and heal my heart. And God, you can break the cycle today. I want you, God. I want you to heal me. I need you, Jesus. Heal my life. Heal my relationships, God. We come back to the chair. We come back to you, God. God, we give you all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want you to know that at the end of every service, we're going to have leaders that are going to be down here at the front. Leaders, come on down to the front. And if you want prayer for your relationship today, if you know you need to get back in this chair today, come down to the front. They're going to pray with you. They're going to help you pray about all of your relationships. We also want you to know that at the end of every service, we offer baptism. And what better way to start your walk with God by being buried with him in baptism. Amen. So if you need to go, we'll see you again next week. Go in the name of Jesus. Let's give God a hand this morning as we exit. Amen. We'll see you again next week. God bless you. In Jesus' name.